It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. California clampdown.
Everything I own is being taken away from me.
That is our top story at noon. Much of the Golden State is in lockdown today as COVID cases continue to rise. Folks are being ordered to stay home for the next 3 weeks.
If I'm not open by February, I will no longer be here. My restaurant cannot open for to-go.
California, one of 25 states reporting a record number of COVID hospitalizations, and that's prompted Governor Gavin Newsom to order most of his state to stay at home.
If we don't act now, our hospital system will be overwhelmed.
But local police say they won't be enforcing the governor's order.
The Riverside County Sheriff's Department will not be blackmailed, bullied, or used as muscle against Riverside County residents.
Law enforcement officials say Governor Newsom's lockdown order is unenforceable. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee.
The sad thing is a lot of people are just going along with it because there's some government bureaucrat or elected official who has it in his head that he's a prince and everybody else is a peasant, and it's disgusting, it's immoral. And it's certainly not how we're supposed to be as a country.
Correspondent David Begno continues.
Starting today, salons are closed. Retailers are under strict capacity limits. And all dining, indoor and out, is suspended through Christmas. Restaurant owner Angela Marsden is among those pleading with state leaders to change their rules after she noticed an outdoor dining tent for a film crew 15 feet away from her now closed outdoor patio.
Tell me that this is dangerous. Right next to me as a slap in my face.
County officials classify video production work as essential.
That's David Begno reporting from Southern California. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says something has to be done in California to cut down on the number of sick.
As we get into January towards the peak, we're going to see over 3,000 deaths a day, unfortunately, and we maybe get close to 4,000 deaths a day. So this is going to get a lot worse.
But Health Secretary Dr. Alex Azar says help is on the way.
As we progress roll out vaccine to people, the positive experiences that they have by word of mouth and reference are going to be what really drive, I think, increasing vaccine confidence as we see the end of the day of this pandemic eventually.
More than 30 million people in California now under mandatory lockdown orders. Georgia, state of mind. That is the other big story at noon.
We are the shock absorber for common sense policies.
At this moment of crisis.
Who does that?
All eyes on the Peach State as the Senate candidates went head-to-head last night before that all-important runoff election next month in Georgia.
The politics in Washington has been about the politicians.
My loyalties are with Georgia.
Republican Kelly Loeffler tried to paint her Democratic opponent Raphael Warnock as a radical liberal out of touch with most of America.
My opponent, radical liberal Raphael Warnock, has called police officers gangsters, thugs, bullies, and a threat to our children. When I gave him the chance to apologize in our first debate, he declined. He's also said that you can't serve God and the military. He's used the Bible to justify these types of attacks.
Raphael Warnock says Kelly Loeffler cares more about protecting her own wealth than protecting the people of Georgia.
When you receive the private briefing regarding the coronavirus pandemic, you dumped millions of dollars of stock in order to protect your own investments. And then weeks later, when there came an opportunity to give ordinary Georgians an extra $600 of relief, you said you saw no need and called it counterproductive.
In the other Senate race, Democrat John Ossoff debated an empty podium last night after Republican David Perdue declined the invitation.
If the senator were not too much of a coward to debate in public, and he's not here because he's afraid he may incriminate himself. This is why David Perdue is not here today. He can't defend the indefensible.
The Republican incumbent responded with this statement.
After that debate, David Perdue's campaign manager said, quote, tonight we witnessed something we didn't know was possible. A candidate lost a debate against himself, an epic failure.
Jillian Maley from Fox News. So what's at stake in Georgia? everything, says political pundit Janelle King.
We are really the state that's going to decide the future of this country. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, this is a very pivotal moment.
The deadline to vote for Georgia's runoff election is today, with early voting set to begin 1 week from today. Then those two runoff elections will take place Tuesday, January 5th, with control of the U.S. Senate hanging in the balance. President Trump's point man in his legal fight to the 2020 vote has COVID-19. Rudy Giuliani testing positive for the virus. Despite that, Giuliani says the election fight continues.
This was a pattern that was set by somebody in Washington because everybody else carried it out exactly in the same way. And they did it in the crooked cities. They didn't do it everywhere. They did it in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Atlanta. They went to places where there's a lot of corruption.
Giuliani insists there's still a path to victory for President Trump, but fired DHS cybersecurity chief Chris Krebs says it's time to move on.
I don't know if it's intentional or if it's willful blindness, but the result of the 2020 election is clear. This race is over. We've got to get ready for January 20th and the next administration.
Even so, over the weekend, a judge in Michigan allowed for a probe of 22 Dominion voting machines in the Wolverine state.
This is very good for Donald Trump because it's going to allow his allies, if you will, to look at these machines, investigate them, audit them.
Mark Smith teaches politics at the King's College in New York City.
If a problem is found with these machines in Michigan, if that were to occur, then obviously if these similar or the same types of machines were used in other states, that would allow the president and his allies to potentially go to other states, potentially other battleground states, and to raise similar issues there using the evidence uncovered in Michigan.
But Mark Smith says the president is running out of time. The Electoral College meets 1 week from today to certify the 2020 vote. 79 years ago today,
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
President Roosevelt with those infamous words that would launch the U.S. into World War II following the Japanese attack at Pearl Harbor. Still to come this Monday, get the schools open in Buffalo, schools shutting down in Batavia, and helping the homeless in Harrisburg.
Well, a very good afternoon to all. We're looking at a chilly day across the area. There'll be some passing flakes now and again through tonight. I'll be back with the complete forecast coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York, in Pennsylvania, Monday, December 7th. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has moved up a deadline related to a case that challenges the results of the presidential election in Pennsylvania.
Our elections matter, our constitutions matter, be it the U.S. Constitution or the Pennsylvania Constitution. This should get a hearing in the Supreme Court of the United States. I think it will.
White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany, tomorrow is the new deadline for a response from the Keystone State over the legality of mail-in ballots. New numbers from New York today show COVID cases dropping in Western New York, but rising in the Finger Lakes. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The State Health Department says the Rochester region and areas south saw their infection rate spike to 8.5%. That's the highest in the Empire State. Western New York's infection rate, meantime, dropped to just over 6%. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. A rallying cry in downtown Buffalo. The group Open New York Schools Now gathering on the steps of the Rath County Office Building to call on Governor Cuomo to reopen schools in the Queen City for in-person learning.
We are fighting for our kids' right for in-person education. Some school districts have not been open since March. We still don't have direction, and we're fighting to get our kids back and for their mental health.
In nearby Batavia, all schools there also remote learning only.
Right now, administrators, teachers, teaching aides, we're not labeled essential employees, so we have to follow the quarantining rules, which means we can't work. So it's not just about putting a warm body in front of a group of kids. It's about putting somebody who can teach the kids, who can engage them while they're in person.
And the superintendent in Batavia says the district had no other choice but to go 100% remote learning because of a spike in COVID. Batavia will continue its online learning only through January 4th. New York Attorney General Tish James released releasing the body cam video from police officers in Rochester who were involved in the arrest last March of Daniel Prude. While naked, Prude was restrained, left lying in the street with a spit hood over his head. Prude ended up dying a week later after that encounter with police, and authorities didn't tell the public about his death until September. The Prude case led to the firing of the police chief in Rochester and calls for the mayor to step down. The Eastview Mall in Victor, New York, offering curbside pickup this holiday season. Not for food either. Spokeswoman Wendy Roche says it's a way for shoppers to get their items quickly and safely in this era of COVID-19.
It's just a really good way to get the item that you're looking for, not have to wait for it to be shipped, not have to wait on the post office.
This woman says while she appreciates the gesture, she hopes it doesn't become the norm for holiday shopping at the Eastview Mall.
It's symbolic, but I hope it doesn't stay like that. I know a lot of people find it convenient, but I think you need that interaction with people, and I don't think people are getting that anymore.
More than 40 stores at the Eastview Mall now offering curbside pickup this holiday season. AAA says men are more aggressive behind the wheel than women.
Men are definitely more aggressive behind the wheel than women, but women also admit to speeding and other dangerous behaviors also behind the wheel.
Elizabeth Carey with AAA of Western in Central New York says there's some important takeaways from this study, especially this year.
There's a lot of stress out there, even more so than a typical holiday season. And so people have to remember to take their time and not to lose their temper behind the wheel, because it could end up being a really dangerous situation. It leads to fights. It has led to people being killed, injured. So this can really escalate, especially when people are so stressed out.
Carey says road rage is a big problem this holiday season, with folks suffering from COVID fatigue.
So when you're out holiday shopping, some things to remember. If someone's like leaving the mall and you're waiting for a parking spot, you know, give them a few minutes. They need to take off the mask, sanitize their hands before they get going. So there's no point in beeping your horn or losing your temper. You know, we're trying to keep the holidays bright for everyone. So just a reminder to avoid that road rage.
The AAA study shows 52% of men and 44% of women speed while behind the wheel. Police in Pennsylvania reminding motorists to slow down and move over for emergency responders after a turnpike worker was struck and injured by a vehicle last week.
As he's out there checking on the motorist, a van lost control and slid into him, severely injuring him.
Todd Leese with the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. Bob Sharp says he suffered several broken ribs, injured his shoulder, and was very close to losing his life.
It happens so fast, and it's scary. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Until, you know, stiffer penalties are, you know, enforced and enforcement is stepped up, you know, it's hard.
The stiffer penalties are coming to Pennsylvania. The move over law takes effect this coming spring in the Commonwealth, and it will double previous fines for motorists who break the rules.
We got to get this out to the public to try to make it safer for everybody. And, you know, it's not about me. It's about all of us. Please slow down and just move over.
Officials say two Pennsylvania emergency workers have been killed this year, several others hurt by motorists who do not slow down and move over. Let's pause for sports. Your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, a lot of football action. The Cleveland Browns led the Tennessee Titans 38-7 at halftime. Titans fight back, but the Browns win 41-35. Baker Mayfield excited.
I believe in the people that we have, and we've been building and improving as the season's gone on, so I think you know, we were all confident coming in.
The Browns clinched their first winning season since 2007, improved to 9-3. Tennessee falls to 8-4. Remember when the Giants were 1-7? Well, they've won 4 in a row to improve to 5-7 after shocking the Seahawks 17-12, impressing head coach Joe Judge.
I'm happy the way the team played tonight. Very proud of the way they work. We had a good week of preparation. You know, the way we prepare always carries into how we play and how we perform. And I've seen this group make a lot of, you know, consistent improvement day in, day out, which carries over week by week improvement.
Seattle falls to 8-4. In Green Bay, Jalen Hurts took over for Carson Wentz in the second half for Philadelphia, threw for 109 yards, a touchdown, and an interception, but the Eagles fall to the Pack 30-16. Doug Peterson on why he made the change.
I just felt that we needed that spark today, whereas in the past, you know, I felt like it was maybe more so. It could have been, you know, injuries at other spots. It could have been the way other positions had been playing, not necessarily necessarily the quarterback's position at the time.
And Aaron Rodgers threw 3 touchdowns for the Pack, becoming the fastest quarterback to throw 400 touchdowns in his career.
Proud of the number thrown to a lot of guys over the years who've been a part of that 400 number.
At MetLife Stadium, the Jets are just 5 seconds away from their first win on the season, but...
Jets coming. Carr puts some air under it. Wide open is Ruggs for the touchdown. The
Raiders win 31-28. Sam Darnold said, just missed it.
To be able to, you know, have a game like that you should have won at the end, you know, those ones definitely hurt. More than any.
From the 0-12 Jets to a team hoping to get to 12-0, Steelers hosting Washington today at 5. The Buffalo Bills in Arizona taking on San Francisco later tonight on Monday Night Football. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. We'll be watching still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report. Staying healthy over the holidays and through a pandemic. We'll go one-on-one with a local trainer. Plus, debate night in Georgia and a heart for the homeless in Harrisburg.
There's a beautiful story behind the world's most beautiful voice. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. 62 years ago, a young Italian woman named Edie Bocelli, pregnant with her first child, was hospitalized with appendicitis. Her doctors advised her to abort this child because, they said, the baby would be born with some disability. A devout Catholic, Edie Bocelli, refused. But the doctor's prognosis was correct. Her son, Andrea, was born with congenital glaucoma. He was completely blind by age 12. Despite being unable to see, Andrea was born with... other gifts. Well, that's an understatement. One in particular stands out. His voice has been called the most beautiful in the world. Celine Dion even said that if God would have a singing voice, he must sound a lot like Andrea Bocelli. In fact, Bocelli's albums have sold over 90 million copies. His 1999 album, Sacred Areas, is the biggest selling album by a solo classical artist in history. And his 1996 single, With You I Shall Leave, is one of the biggest selling singles of all time. Puts him in a list that includes Lady Gaga, Maroon 5, and Adele. Bocelli has sung for presidents, for prime ministers, and for popes. He was even named one of the world's 50 most beautiful people by People magazine. In 2010, Bocelli told his mother's story. It was in a video entitled, Andrea Bocelli, His Unknown Story That Touches Hearts. Sitting at the piano, after describing his mother's decision not to abort him, he then adds, maybe I'm partisan, but I can say it was the right choice. Bocelli told an Italian newspaper that what inspired him to share this story was a missionary in Haiti who works with children and with women facing difficult pregnancies. Because of my personal convictions as a devout Catholic, he said, I'm not only fighting against something, I'm fighting for something. I'm fighting for life. The video went viral. Bocelli said he hopes it will help comfort those who are in difficult situations or who sometimes just need to feel they're not alone. In this way, Bocelli's story is reminiscent of the very important work of the folks at pregnancy care centers all across America and even around the world. They exist to remind women facing a difficult pregnancy that they're not alone. The comfort and support they provide to women helps them choose life, just as Bocelli's mother did. And, especially at this time of the year, Bocelli's story can remind us of the part a challenging pregnancy played in the story of our redemption. It's easy for us to forget that God gave Mary the option to say no. But she replied, may it be done unto me according to thy will. These are very similar to words that Edie Bocelli and countless other women have echoed throughout the ages. And for Advent, here's just a small sample of the most beautiful voice in the world, Andrea Bocelli, singing, glory to you, Christ Jesus, you will reign today and forever. Glory to you, you who will soon come.
Gloria te, Cristo Jesus.
Downloadable and beautifully illustrated ebook to help us remember the one who will come again. It's called Emmanuel Readings for Advent, and it's available at breakpoint.org. And by the way, Andrea Bocelli is holding a Christmas concert this year. It will be streamed online around the world on December the 12th. It's available on pay-per-view. We'll link to it at breakpoint.org. Again, that's breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, let's head outside.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the week is off to a cold start. Nothing extreme, but chill will rule the next couple days and nights. No big storms are ahead, though a weak disturbance and a little bit of lake input from off Erie and Ontario will generate some flurries at times. The call for this afternoon, variably cloudy skies. There'll be some sunny intervals, some flurries around, with high temperatures mostly in the low to mid-30s. Flurries will pick up a bit tonight. There could be a little dusting in parts of central New York, the Finger Lakes, and maybe the northern tier counties of eastern Pennsylvania, low in the 20s. Tomorrow, clouds and a flurry, some sunshine, but still chilly in the 30s. Wednesday, cloudy with a touch of light snowfall by a touch of light rain, mainly across New York. High temperatures on Wednesday, upper 30s to the middle 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Monday, December 7th, debate night in Georgia, ahead of next month's all-important runoff election. The results of those two Senate races will determine which party controls the U.S. Senate next year. Republican incumbent Kelly Loeffler defending President Trump's fight over the 2020 vote.
President Trump has every right to use every legal recourse available.
Loeffler's Democratic challenger is Raphael Warnock.
Here we are several weeks after the election, and Kelly Loeffler continues to cast doubt on an American Democratic election.
Democrat John Ossoff debated himself last night after Republican incumbent David Perdue declined an invitation to take part.
It shows an astonishing arrogance and sense of entitlement for Georgia's senior U.S. senator to believe he shouldn't have to debate at a moment like this in our history.
The runoffs take place January 5th in Georgia. With COVID cases rising, California is shutting down. Dr. Deborah Birx chairs the president's coronavirus task force.
This is not just the worst public health event. This is the worst event that this country will face.
Half of the Golden State has been ordered to stay at home for the next 3 weeks.
I don't believe it was meant to punish Californians or punish people for the whole United States. It truly was so that we didn't overwhelm our hospital systems. And they're overwhelmed now.
That woman, a nurse in Riverside County, California, more than 30 million people now being told to stay home. But a growing number of law enforcement officials say they will not be enforcing that.
Orange County Sheriff Don Barnes declared Saturday that deputies will not be dispatched to enforce compliance with face coverings, social gatherings, or stay-at-home orders. Meanwhile, Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco posted a YouTube video in which he says the Sheriff's Department will not be blackmailed, bullied, or used as muscle against Riverside County residents in the enforcement of the governor's orders.
That's Dean Michu reporting. In New York City, preschoolers and K through 5th grade returning to the classroom today. Schools in the Big Apple were closed last month when virus cases spiked.
I worry that there will be hundreds of thousands of us all over the city who won't be ready for what comes next and may remain a step behind for years to come.
A new report card out today shows just how much of an impact this pandemic is having on learning.
In school districts across the country, teachers are finding students are struggling, just as they are with online learning. The Houston Chronicle reports some area districts show nearly half of middle and high school students failed at least one class. It's the same situation for students in grades 3 to 12 in Wilson County, North Carolina. And for some groups of students in Montgomery County, Maryland, the failure rate has spiked as much as 6 times.
That's correspondent Wendy Gillette. We are coming up on 24 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, staying healthy over the holidays and through a pandemic. Recently, I sat down with Shauna Kohlbacher at the Fitness Factory in Jamestown, New York. Shauna shares some tips on how Christians can live without living in fear. The holidays are here, and staying healthy this month is difficult enough, and you throw on top of that a pandemic, and it's next to impossible, Shauna. But what are the biggest mistakes you're seeing with people when it comes to diet and exercise around the holidays?
Well, I would say probably the biggest mistake and the thing I hear most often is that people are going to wait until after the New Year to begin their fitness journey. And that is definitely not the right thing to do if you want to be truly successful to start the new year off, because it really, during these couple months leading up to, a lot of people will just slide backwards even further, or you know, lose any games they had leading up into the holidays because of the fact that they're kind of giving themselves this free pass to wait until after the holidays. And then they just have to, you know, kind of backpedal and try that much harder just to kind of get back to where they were.
Don't procrastinate is what you're saying.
Don't procrastinate, absolutely, yeah. And just to keep a positive mindset through it and thinking, you know, okay, we can do small goals still right now. Don't worry about trying to achieve those big grand goals of fitness during the holiday months. Just, you know, try to work at smaller goals, like even maintenance would be a good goal. Don't try to maybe lose a bunch of weight during the holidays. Just maintain the weight during the holidays.
Yeah, I hear you. So a lot of folks are struggling with motivation this time of year, not just for working out, but with a lot of things. I think COVID has brought that on, too. But any advice for our listeners as far as staying motivated to stay active, to stay fit this time of year?
Just to know that it's not impossible to do it through the holidays by, you know, again, just setting those realistic goals. It's definitely possible to stick with getting fitness in through busy schedules. Like if you're at work and you have a stairwell, you know, start walking up and down the stairwell on your break. Or if you have the ability to be home, you could take your, you know, kids out for a walk or do something and play with them.
Is it even possible, Shauna, to enjoy the holidays without ruining our bodies?
Oh, absolutely. I think what we oftentimes try to do is tell ourselves no to something rather than trying to keep it balanced and say, okay, I'm going to have one cookie instead of three or four. And I feel like it will just keep you much more regulated through your holiday events and parties and be able to enjoy it that much more as well.
Moderation in everything.
Moderation. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
So this is a unique year, to say the least, with COVID and all of the challenges that that represents, whether it's school being, you know, remote, sports being put on hold for a lot of kids, a lot of depression, a lot of mental health issues, I think, are going to come out of this. But as far as a from a physical fitness standpoint, what are some of the challenges you're seeing in light of COVID-19?
A couple of things that I know people talk about is wearing the masks and stuff and the difficulty with working out. I get that a lot at our gym. And I feel like if it's not safe for you, you don't feel comfortable, again, there's many ways you can still get your fitness in, whether it be at home or at the office, again, doing stairwells. But also, like you're saying, the depression and the anxiety that is coming out of this and suicides. And I feel like this is definitely something that people need to realize, that their mental health is just as important as their physical health. Mm-hmm. And so often we're letting fear control everything that we do nowadays instead of just, you know, going about your day with wisdom and not trying to, again, dwell on every little thing that we hear about. And so I feel like the biggest key, exercise actually does stimulate the release of dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin, which are all chemicals in the brain that do play an important role in helping, you know, mood, regulate mood, and stabilize it. So yes, physical activity is important, but again, not trying to dwell on fear. And as believers, we do know, you know, that we can turn that over to God because he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Yeah.
And we can take that and take a hold of that and live our lives daily, not in fear, but just practicing wisdom.
Yeah, for sure. I couldn't agree with you more, Shauna. In fact, I was working out with a guy Friday at the YMCA. And I had a face mask on and I was on the treadmill. I just couldn't do it. I was gasping for air. I had to lower the face mask. And I knew that he was right next to me and he kind of looked at me and we both kind of had that twinkle in our eye like, this is kind of ridiculous here. And so I was able to talk to him. And he was just sharing a lot what you were saying about not living in fear. And especially as believers, I think this is our opportunity to shine, because a lot of people are hesitant, they're fearful, they're apprehensive to do a lot of things, but we don't have to live that way. And we can be the hope that they so desperately need.
Yes, it's a great opportunity as believers to share that news, but also to show that, you know, God is real. This is real. You know, his peace it can surpass all understanding, even if it does not make sense to the world. And it's just a great opportunity for all of us to, again, be able to live in that peace that so many are not able to right now, but also share that peace then with others.
Good start. The Fitness Factory in Jamestown, New York, with some tips on how to stay healthy during the holidays and through a pandemic.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the week is off to a cold start. Nothing extreme, but chill will rule the next couple days and nights. No big storms are ahead, though a weak disturbance and a little bit of lake input from off Erie and Ontario will generate some flurries at times. The call for this afternoon, variably cloudy skies. There'll be some sunny intervals, some flurries around, with high temperatures mostly in the low to mid-30s. Flurries will pick up a bit tonight. There could be a little dusting in parts of central New York, the Finger Lakes, and maybe the northern tier counties of eastern Pennsylvania, low in the 20s. Tomorrow, clouds and a flurry, sunshine, but still chilly in the 30s. Wednesday, cloudy with a touch of light snowfall by a touch of light rain, mainly across New York. High temperatures on Wednesday, upper 30s to the middle 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, a Harrisburg businessman who lost his company 4 years ago, now helping the homeless this holiday season. Howard Henry handing out food and coats to those in need.
We've been given so much. And they're in need, and they're hopeless, and they feel helpless. And I've had moments of that in my life, you know, with the things that have happened in my life. I understand hopelessness and helplessness.
4 years ago, Henry lost his auto shop in a freak construction accident. Now the man who lost everything, giving hope to those in need this Christmas season in Harrisburg. That's what it's all about. And that is the world we live in for your Monday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.